the word this morning. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you that your word is holy, that your word is precious, that your word is pure. We thank you that we are able to be cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. And Father, we thank you that the scripture was given for us so that we might have instruction in righteousness, that we might correct ourselves and live our lives in according to the example that you have set when you gave us your holy word. And Father, today as we begin to minister the word, prepare the people's hearts so that we would all be able to conform ourselves to it, that we would be able to identify ourselves with what it says, and may it be a lasting reality in our own hearts. And also may the Holy Spirit witness with our spirit that these things are indeed true, and may He teach us and reveal to us those things which are to come according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to the book of Luke. And when you get to Luke, go to Luke, the second chapter. And we're going to start reading at Luke, the second chapter, in verse 21. And it says, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through their own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed." So here's a situation, and after Jesus was born, you know, there's a period of purification of the mother according to the law, and after that period had passed, she went and dedicated Jesus to the Lord in the temple. So here she has the baby, and then Simeon, who was a man who the Lord revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah come. And so that was revealed to him by the Spirit, and then it says also by the Spirit he entered into the temple, he took the child up in his arms, and he blessed him, and he spoke a prophetic word concerning Jesus. And then he also said, you know, now I can die. Now you've shown me the Christ, I can die, and I can depart in peace. But I want to draw our attention to one specific thing that Simeon said about Jesus. In verse 35, he said, "Yes, a sword will pierce through their own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed." And we know that in Jesus' ministry, that oftentimes the thoughts of people were revealed through his ministry. I want to go also to Hebrews 4, just to kind of build upon this one specific point. Go to Hebrews 4, and when you get to Hebrews 4, we're going to go to the, we're going to start at the 12th verse. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So here we see the writer of Hebrews reiterated the fact that the Word of God is able to pierce through the soul, is able to divide the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrow, and is able to discern or able to tell the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And we see throughout the ministry of Jesus this being played out many times. Like there were a lot of times the religious people of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they would try to trap Jesus in his words. They would try to trick him and try to deceive him and try to get him to say something so that they could say, well, look, you said this and the word says this. And so many times they tried to set traps and different things to try to trip him up, but he always knew what they were up to. He always knew by the Spirit. He was always, you know, at least one step ahead of everything that they did because he was able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so this ministry is revealed many, many ways in Jesus' ministry. And not only just negative things, but you could think about Nathanael, who the Lord called. And whenever he saw Nathanael, he said, behold, you know, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And he made that statement to Nathanael. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? You know, where do you know me from? And Jesus said, well, before Philip came and told you, I saw you under the tree. I saw you under a tree. And so Jesus knew his heart. He knew that there was no deceit in Nathanael's heart. And he saw by the Spirit who Nathanael was even before he had been called and even before Philip had met him. So we see this over and over again in the Scriptures as part of the ministry of Jesus and a part of a function of the Spirit. We could even think like this, the Simeon, whenever he came into the temple, he knew by the Spirit that this child, this baby, was Jesus. And so when it comes to the operations of the Holy Spirit, there is an element of many times of knowing and seeing things ahead of time and knowing things supernaturally by the power of God, not because of our own intellect or our own natural knowledge, but by the Spirit. And we know that God is all-knowing, God is omnipresent, God is omniscient. And I think most of us would agree to the fact that we know that God is this way, but I'm not sure whether we know to the extent that we should how this same attribute of God is manifested through his people today. And we can see here in the Bible how Jesus ministered that way. But let's look at another example. Go to Acts 5. And this is a familiar story, but this is going to be one other example how we can see that by the Spirit, the thoughts and the intents of the heart are made known to a man. Acts 5, it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price for the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now, one thing that's important to point out when we read this passage is that God wasn't pointing out the fact that Ananias had just sold the land and given part of it in the offering. What he is pointing out is the fact that he conspired to lie and to say, I sold the land for this price and I'm giving you the whole price. He could have given him, he could say, I'm going to give 10% or I'm going to give 5% or whatever he could have said. And there's no issue with the amount that he gave. The issue is the fact that he lied about it. And the fact that he thought that he was lying simply to Peter. But God didn't see it that way. He said, you haven't lied to men, but you've lied to God. And so here again, there's really something important in this passage about the thoughts and the intents of the heart that I want to point out also. Because look at verse 3 when Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? And so we see here that within Ananias's heart, there was this impure motive that was the result of Satan filling his heart with this deception. And when it comes to knowing the thoughts and the intents of the heart, many times you see or you know these things, but it's also in reference to their involvement with some lie that the devil planted in someone's mind. And so notice also that Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart? In other words, Ananias, why have you allowed this to happen? It wasn't simply that Satan had done it. It was that Ananias had allowed Satan to do it. And he makes that clear whenever he says here also in verse 4, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? In other words, he was responsible for it. It wasn't simply that Satan has done this. It was that you have conceived this thing in your heart because you have allowed yourself and your mind to meditate on this lie that came from the devil, and you conspired with you and your wife, and you decided that you were going to tell this lie. Then, in verse 5, then Ananias, hearing these things, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband at the door are there, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. So here we see one example of a minister. It doesn't necessarily have to be a minister, but in this case it was a minister. Peter was able to discern by the Spirit an impure motive, a lie that came from this man's heart, that he wanted to deceive God. He was actually trying to deceive God, not just simply deceiving man. But his motive was impure. And so we see that this is one example. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14. Because I want to also show you how, by the Scriptures, that knowledge of these things is not simply reserved to Jesus or not simply reserved to the 12 apostles. But this operation of the Spirit to know things by the Spirit, to know things supernaturally, to be able to discern someone's intention, is something that's given to the church. It's something that present day exists in the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, we'll start at verse 22. And here, just to give you some context here, Paul is speaking about the different operations of the Spirit, and he's speaking about the gifts of tongues and the gifts of interpretation of tongues and also the gift of prophecy. And he says in verse 22, therefore tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but to the unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, and he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So here he says that whenever the gift of prophecy is in operation, that there is an element of prophecy that is supernatural knowledge that would be able to reveal what is in the heart of someone who is an unbeliever, because it said the secrets of his heart would be revealed, and as a result of that, he would fall down and worship God and say, God is really among you. So I want to share with you really some things that the Lord has shown me. And when I say that the Lord has shown me, I'm telling you that the Lord has shown me some things in the Spirit about what He intends to do in this local congregation. And a lot of it has to do with this particular operation of the Spirit about the secrets of the hearts being made known and being revealed. And I think that we could all say that we have seen a measure of that take place here. Oftentimes, you know, by the word of knowledge, someone will say, you know, someone has this condition or someone has this thought or this idea or something's going on in this person's life. And we're able to call that out by the Spirit. Well, that's this operation of the Spirit that we see here in 1 Corinthians 14. But also, what the Lord intends to do here, and this is what I saw just Thursday night in prayer, or actually not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before, is that that many would be able to come here, in here in the local church, and as they're here, whether they're unbelievers or they're just not from here, that the secrets of their hearts would be made known, and as a result, they would make a turn toward God. So, also, there are some things that I've seen many times about this church and about people who have visited this local church by the Spirit. And many times those things reveal to me a danger that existed in a person, whether their motive was impure, whether they were going to try to do something or to try to disrupt the church, or whether they were going to try to victimize someone. So these things are very real, and I want you to understand that as a gift of the Spirit, this is very important for all of us to be aware of, just even if you're not going to be using this particular gift, to be conscious and aware that it exists for not only the edification or the building up of someone individually, but also in terms of warning you of impending danger. There have been people, there was one individual that was here, and now I'm just talking to you now, that this is something that I saw in the Spirit. Also, Pastor Dan saw this, and we had spoken about it. That's why we were able to agree that this was indeed the Spirit. He had the same thing that I had. There was a man that came to this church service, or this church here, and you know, I didn't really know quite what it was about him at first. It was just something, he is kind of, there's a little bit something strange there, you know, but you don't always know everything up front about all the different things that people are involved in or what kind of, you know, spirits are about these people. But he became, it kind of disturbed me. And that's often how it works with me sometimes by the Spirit, is that when I discern something in someone that's in some way bad or in some way dangerous, it sort of just kind of, it's kind of unnerving to begin with. I don't know particularly all the details of it. That might come later, but I just sort of have an uneasiness many times about someone. And I think many of you could probably say that you've had the same thing, being around certain people that you sort of in your spirit were warned about, to stay away from that person or to not be involved with that person, not have any type of real relationship or any type of thing where they can influence you in any way. But this gentleman, I call him gentleman, I kind of assumed that he had come here because he needed help. And you know, people can come in the church that need some sort of help, and they may need deliverance of some kind. They may be involved in some kind of a spiritual problems. And many times these things happen to people because they choose the wrong companions in life. You know, we all choose companions. You choose what you're going to be around, what's going to be with you, what kind of thoughts you're going to carry. And many times, children and young people are introduced to these things very young in life through trauma, through traumatic occurrences in their lives, whether through sexual molestation many times, introduces a child to some sort of a spirit that will follow them for their life. And so with this man, you know, to me, the only way I can describe it in natural terms is when you're around someone and there's sort of interference about them. That's the only way I can really say it to make any kind of sense. But there's a wrong, and I hate to use language like this, but there's sort of a weird frequency or a weird type of action around them. Just a disturbing sort of sense that I get around certain people. But as it turned out, this man And the thing that I really was very concerned with about him was that about being alone with children, not being very, very close to him or around him very much. And then as it turned out, he confessed to Pastor Dan that he was accused of molesting children and things like this, and how he was innocent. You know, again, he's lying to the Holy Spirit. He's lying about this, because we knew by the Spirit that there's something not right here. And so we became aware of that. Now, that is very important for all of us, because whenever we have our children here, or whenever you're around certain people, we do not want people to gain influence in the church. We do not want people to come into the church that will cause any type of disruption. And I think that's what we see here with Peter. Whenever he discerned this in Ananias, we do not want liars to come in. We don't want deceivers to be here that conspire to lie against God and try to make themselves to be something that they're not, which is what he was trying to do. And so these things are very important to know and to see. Now, recently, something else has come to mind, and I see these things regarding individuals, regarding people, but then also sometimes I see them as a just an overall vision of something. But there was a man, I don't want to say too much about, I don't want to reveal who this person is or anything, but what was revealed to me is that there is something that drives him, that it was introduced to him as a child. And if he was to yield to that, that he would actually disrupt the church and bring turmoil into the church and many things, many times like this. So one way that we see these things is through prayer in the Spirit. That's why it's very important for you to learn how to pray in the Spirit and to be aware and to be conscious of your surroundings and be aware of those who try to influence you, be aware of those who try to influence your children. Amen. So part of the pastoral ministry, and Pastor Dan is our pastor here, is the ministry of a shepherd. That's really what a pastor means. And because he is here for our well-being, he doesn't want people to come in, to kind of lurk in and try to disrupt things, to try to influence things the wrong direction. And so we all need to be very aware of these things. And many times people come and they really do want help. So a person could come in and they could have some sort of spiritual oppression behind them, and they really do sort of want help, or at least part of them does. And so, you know, we don't want to kick people out automatically because we know that there's some sort of a spirit about that person that's wrong. But we do want to be forewarned, and we do want to be aware that these things exist, because we don't want to fall into them. You know, we don't want to fall into the hands of someone who's going to be a destroyer or a deceiver in some sort of a way. Amen. Looking at this again, 1 Corinthians 14. And we're going to start here again at chapter 25. We'll just look at chapter or verse 25 here. It says, "And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you." Now see, the right response to a person who was found out immediately that there is something about them that is a secret that they're keeping from God, something that is revealed to them, is the right response is to fall down and to worship God as a result of that. That's not always the case. That's not always what happens in every instance. But many times, whenever there's an operation of the Spirit in that way, that's what happens. But not always. In fact, when we look at Ananias and Sapphira, in that situation, they didn't fall down and worship God. They fell down and died. Now, the people that were there with them, it said great fear came upon all them, and we would assume that the church began to worship God. The church began to cry out to God and had an awesome awareness of the presence of God. But it's not always that way. Now, one story, now this will give you an example of sometimes why the Holy Spirit will do this or reveal these things. There is a minister who happens to be a prophet who is Joe Jordan's best friend that we see minister in Kansas City quite a bit, Ron Smith. And he told a story how he was on a missions trip with a minister, and he was on his way back on the plane from, I believe, somewhere in Africa. And as he's on the plane, the minister that he's with says, you know, you seem to be upset. You seem that there's something that's upsetting you. And he said, if I understand right, it seems like you're upset at me for something. And he said, well, you know, you are right. I am upset, and I'm upset at you. And he said that what he had seen, the Lord showed him this, that this minister had been propositioning different women. And the Lord literally told him the different phrases, the terms that he used, that this other preacher was trying to use to get in bed with women. So he said, now what you need to do is you need to go to every single woman that you have tried to proposition, because, you know, some preachers like to use their influence and their power or their authority or whatever to try to manipulate people. And that's what this man was trying to do. He said, now you need to go to every single woman that you've propositioned, and you need to apologize, and you need to make it right. And so the man actually did that, and as a result, he was restored back to God, and his ministry was not ruined. Because how many people do we know of who have been involved in this type sort of thing? You know, their ministries are literally ruined. Their lives are ruined because they fall to some sort of temptation like this. And if and when the Spirit reveals these things, it can prevent that from happening later in life. So we see this as an operation of the Spirit, and I want us to be aware of that here. We're not going to take too much time here today. But I want you to know that because of the fact that God intends to do something very particular in the congregation that's a little bit different than maybe what we have seen. And, you know, we haven't seen a lot of people come, for instance, and give their lives to the Lord. We haven't seen a lot of salvations and that type of thing. That's pretty rare here. But what we are going to see in the near coming future is that by the Spirit. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be something where I point someone out or someone points somebody out and says, this is what God shows me about you. But either through someone ministering, through someone speaking, for whatever reason, they say something that reveals that person's secret. They say something that reveals something in that person's heart that causes their heart to break and to turn towards God. I had a word of knowledge a few weeks back about a woman who was very bitter, and she was very bitter towards people. And as a result of that, people didn't want to come around her, and she really wanted to get rid of that bitterness. She really didn't want to be like that, but she'd been like that for so long that it was very difficult for her to change. And so I just spoke that out by the Spirit and said, this is what the Lord shows me. I didn't know particularly who it was. To me, it didn't really matter. I just wanted to speak that out because that's an opportunity for that person to recognize, hey, the secret of my heart has been revealed, and now as a result of that, I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to allow Him to break me free of this situation. I'm not going to be bitter anymore. So that's one way that that can work. Or it could be just a matter of someone speaking, and they don't really know that they're speaking to anyone directly, but by the Spirit they are saying something. One of my instructors in Bible school, Keith Moore, he happened to be ministering in a service one time. And as he's preaching, he begins to say some things, but he's not, you know, directing it towards anyone in particular. He's just saying what's coming out of his heart at the time. But he began to describe this young man's situation, evidently, and it upset the man that was sitting in the service. And he got up right in the middle of the service and said, "Preacher, if you got something to say to me, I wish you would just say it." You know, and so he was sort of like shocked, like, "What? You know, like what's going on here?" He didn't, because he wasn't talking to him directly, or he didn't know that he was. But by the Spirit, he said something that opened or revealed something, and it convicted him individually, and it was made known to everybody because he stood up. Otherwise, no one would have ever known that he was talking about him. And so, you know, we're not all knowing. You know, I don't know everyone's situation, and I don't really want to know. You know, I don't really want God to show me everything about everybody, because those things are private. Unless the Lord, you know, if the Lord decides to do that, then that's fine. I'm open to it. But that's just one way that that can work. So whenever it comes to the Spirit of prophecy, we have to understand that it's not necessarily always, you know, this is what the Lord is saying. It doesn't necessarily have to come through a tongue or through the interpretation of a tongue or through what we consider a prophecy, someone speaking by inspiration of the Spirit. But it could be very casually someone's ministering And as they're ministering, they take another turn and begin to speak about something that seems unrelated to what they're talking about before. And it turns up, ends up that it is speaking to someone's direct situation. But what I believe that we're going to see here is that we are going to see people come in who are either unbelievers or who are not part of this congregation, and we're going to see them turn to God. Now, there have been many things that have been said by different people concerning this congregation, about the church and the future of this church. Most of that, I can agree with generally. A lot of that I don't have any specific knowledge one way or the other about what, you know, Joe Jordan says or Ron Smith says or whatever about the church. One thing that Pastor said, that he believes that building materials are going to come to us. That's something that Ron Smith said to him by the Spirit. I don't know any of that particularly directly myself, personally. I trust that these men are men of God, and if they see something in the Spirit, it's probably good to pay attention to it. But what I know is that the Lord intends to bring people into the church and intends to bring unbelievers into the church. And that's really our great commission, is that we ought to go out and preach the gospel to every creature so that they can believe and be born again. And one way that the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin and draws them to Jesus is this operation of the Spirit by the revealing the secrets of their hearts. So that's really all I had to say today. Let's just take a moment and pray real quick. Father, we thank you for the operation of the Spirit. We thank you that among us we have a pretty consistent move of your Spirit. And Father, we'd like to see a lot more of that. And Father, let us be understanding and mindful of the ways that you move in our midst. And let us understand the purpose of that moving of the Spirit. Let us understand that Jesus said that no man can come to the Father except that the Spirit draw him. And Father, we thank you that the Spirit is able to draw. We thank you that the Spirit is able to convict the hearts of those who should come. But Father, help us to be able to bring people in, to get people into the presence of the Lord here, that they would be radically changed, that their hearts would be cleansed, that they would be forgiven, and that they would be filled anew with your Spirit so that they would be able to serve you eternally. Father, we thank you for all the things that you've done here among us. But Father, we thank you for a greater move of the Spirit. We thank you for a greater operation of the Spirit, not so that we would be able to brag and say that, hey, look at our church, look what we do, but so that Jesus would be glorified. Because Father, we know that Jesus isn't glorified in a church that is not doing the same works that he did. And he even said that we would do the same works that he did and more of them, because he went to the Father. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you that you are in our midst and that you know all things and that all things are open and naked of you, the person that we have to give an account to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.